Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Girls are doing this thing. So, look, here are these notes that I prepared for tonight, and we're not going to use them because I need to preach myself happy, and you guys all have to be here and be a part of it. So that's what really needs to happen. So what I want to do is something pretty unusual for me, at least, and that is I just want to read through and kind of preach through Hebrews 11. And so if you guys want to open your Bibles, that's what we're going to do tonight, and I would bet things will go a little bit short. Father, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, inspiration on our hearts to believe you. I pray, Father, for the peace of God which transcends all crazy circumstances, to guard our hearts and our minds tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come and anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to believe, our faith to engage. And God, that you'd hit each one in this room right where we need to be. God, that you'd hit us right where we're at. That you'd speak. I pray, Father, that the word of God would have power tonight to remind us of who we are in Christ, to remind us, God, of what you've said, of what you want, of what you have for us. And I just ask you, Lord, that you would stir, Father, in this room, a spirit of faith to press in, God, and to believe you for bigger things, even, God, when circumstances may be difficult or when our hearts, God, might be weighed down. Holy Spirit, come tonight and minister in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to actually begin in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, and I just want to give this word. This is more as a... Just a word of prophecy for us, just a prophetic encouragement that leads into the teaching. But I just feel like it is so important for each one of us. I mean, this has been a tough season, and I don't know that it's over yet. I have no idea what all the Lord is doing in this church and in the life of the prayer room and in our individual lives. But as I stack up all the stuff that's going on, I am shocked and astounded that all these difficult things are happening all at the same time. I was on the phone this week with Pastor Adam and just telling him about this. He's just like cry laughing at me. Like, that's the worst thing I've ever heard, bro. Like, just like, I cannot believe how bad it is. That's terrible. He was going to call and complain. He had some things he wanted to cry on my shoulder about it. He was like, I don't even have the guts to tell you what's going on with us. He's like, that's horrible. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty great. And it's just, we are in this divine season of testing. And I just have so many ideas running through my head and through my heart in this season about how the sufferings that we're in right now are congruent to our reality in the age to come, about how our sufferings right now and the difficulties and the dryness and the pain and the physical pain, the emotional pain, the letdowns, the prophetic disappointments, how all these things all flow together for the Lord's purpose in us, for us in this moment to refine us, how these things, these difficulties, these trials, these just bad days that won't go away, and oppression that we're feeling from many different angles, confusion, difficulties, all the difficult stuff are a preparation for our near immediate future, for the things that are just around the corner for us, how the difficulties and the struggles and the faith journey that we're in, and just to keep believing and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do it again tomorrow, just keep going, sheer grit, get up, pray for God to give you enough grace to get out of bed and keep pressing in, have so much to do with what he wants to do with this community and the broader prayer room community as a whole in the coming years that are just, you know, some a bit away, so not the next year or two, but even the next decade. This season is not accidental. This season might be the most divine season that's ever happened to any of us. I mean, I feel it. It is so painful. I mean, I look at the seasons where things have gone really, really well, and I got that joy in my heart and went, man, we're in one of those divine seasons where the kiss of the Lord. I actually feel the importance of this season far surpassing any of those cool times, any of those it was working times, any of those everybody was happy and things were landing right times. I just feel the divine hand of God in this season for everything. It's like, this is so important. I have that sense. And honestly, I think it's the grace of the Lord I have that sense, because there's a lot of days where it just doesn't feel like it's worth to keep going. And so to have that sense is helpful, but I don't think it's a deceptive sign. I think that the Lord's actually speaking through this season, that He is preparing us for right now, doing something beautiful in us, for the age to come, for years in our future, for what's right around the corner for us, for our personal lives. I just feel so much destiny in this difficulty. You know, think about Job, and listen, I don't like our circumstances, but it's a little bit far-fetched for any of us to think that we're going through a life, you know, season like Job went through. I mean, go read the passage. Everybody died. Every horrible thing happened. He was broke, and it was painful, and he was a mess. We're not really that bad off. But I just think about that season for Job, and we don't know how many Jobs there have been over the course of the centuries that the Lord has had people that he was in covenant with and relationship with. We don't know how many Jobs there have been. But we do know that Job got his name written in the book and his story recorded. And Job could not have known he was going to have a book written about him and that it would be an eternal source of encouragement for every believer that followed him that had a lesser problem in their life, that they could look back on Job and go, that man went through it and still loved God, I can too. He just had, there's no way he could have known. But I have a guess in my heart, because he loved God and he didn't deny God and quit and kill himself, that there was some encouragement along the way. There was some stirring. There was something in his heart along the way. There was just little nudges, little strengthenings from the Lord. I just have a feeling, or maybe I'm wrong, I just have a sense that he probably had a sense there was something bigger going on than God's in a bad mood and I just need to be okay with it. If you read Job, you just go, God's in a bad mood and I just need to be okay with it because he's God and he can do whatever he wants, including have a bad day. I mean, that's really the stance that Job has in the whole thing. It's not like he sees so much clarity about what's going on, but I have a feeling that he sensed he was in a divine season, that there was something more important, something bigger going on. We just look back on that and go, the difficulties that that man endured in order that we would have a book of Job, in order that we would have that story to tell. Believers for hundreds and thousands of years have been encouraged by that testimony. And I just feel, not in that sense, but maybe a step or three down. I really do sense that what's happening in this season is going to be talked about in heaven. I mean, if it really be that, I mean, listen, we're either what we think we are or we're totally crazy and need all be committed. Because we really believe the Lord's going to bring about a revival and that we're going to have some part in that. We really believe that God's going to give the prayer room an old nightclub that's been shut down for 15 years that the guy won't let anybody in, that we've had three dreams about owning before we ever saw inside of it. And we really believe this crazy stuff. Well, if all that's true, doesn't that group of people need a testimony? Don't they need a story? Don't they need something in heaven and hell that's a testimony about what they went through? Or, oh yeah, this just group of 20-year-olds, they just kind of stumbled across the plan of God and it all worked out really cool for them. None of them were really ready for it. None of them had been tested. I mean, they were all, you know, pretty immature and just really couldn't handle squat. But it was a good idea from heaven's standpoint to give them a lot of authority, a lot of influence, a lot of spiritual unction and power, and just to go ahead and anoint them and give them you know, this escapade building and let that ministry go 24/7 and really be a beacon for revival. It was really just a good idea of God to give that to that group without them ever being tested or have to go through it or believe. Man, that just doesn't sound like God to me. And I get to thinking and go, this is so much bigger than your problem or mine. This is so much bigger than little you or little me. What if a few hundred thousand people get saved in Dallas-Fort Worth in a move of God in the coming years? And all it took was for you to half die. I mean, just half die. And then not, you know, then get recharged, get defibrillated or however that works, and wind up okay down the road. And all you had to do was half die. And a few hundred thousand people get saved. Oh, boo-hoo, little me. I'm like, just like I'm looking at my life and going, so what? So what? If it was for nothing, we could all cry in our cereal bowls, and I get it. But it's not for nothing. This isn't for nothing. This is too divine. This is supernaturally horrible. This isn't, people don't have stories like this as a community. This is so unbelievably awful. We've all got terrible, terrible stories to tell. It's okay. It's the sign of God that we're on the right track. We're going right where we need to go. Listen, we're not off course. We're right on course. And the way is narrow. And so along the narrow way, you get beat up a little bit. It's okay. Listen, we're going to come through this. We're going to be all right. We're not going to die. And if you die, that's really good for you. I'll cry because I like you. But not because, you know, like, so rough for you. You will be laughing your butt off at us. Here, this is kind of morbid. I'm talking about one of you dying. So don't die. Please don't die. But you're not going to die. You'll make it through this. We as a community will make it through this. I'll make it through. I'm in such a funk right now. I am in the funk of a lifetime. I'll get through it. I'll be okay. You'll get through your trial. This too will pass. We'll be all right. And in the meantime, we just got to keep pressing through and not give up on one another, not give up on believing God, not give up on the purposes and the promises of God, not give up on doing our best to fight the good fight daily. Listen, I'll tell you what, when you got a soldier in war and they are like hardcore, you know, they're like the best of their class kind of guy, and they're out there and they're in their A game and they're doing it, they're taking over a lot of territory until they hit a landmine. If they don't die in that landmine, they're not taking over a lot of territory from the hospital bed. Their job every day is to open their eyes and try to figure out how to wiggle whatever toes left. That's their job, and that's fighting the good fight. Listen, if you're in a hospital bed right now, just figure out a way to wiggle that toe. You don't have to be Superman, take over the world. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. I'm so convinced the season we're in right now is not one we receive a grade. It's one that we receive a pass or fail on. There's no, you got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever the letters go to. Wasn't so good in school. You're not getting that kind of grade. You're getting a pass or fail grade. Just pass. How do you pass? Just don't quit. Just keep pressing on. Just keep believing. Keep pressing on. You'll be okay. So out of Hebrews chapter 10, I just want to say this to us as a word for us, that each one of us just needs to eat. We just need to eat this word, devour it and believe it and retell it to ourselves in the mirror. Listen, if you don't talk to yourself in the mirror, try it sometime. It's glorious. You're that close. You're right up there with your face. You don't have that whole weird thing. You get that close to somebody's face, they get all freaked out because you're in their bubble. But you can get as close to your face as you want in that mirror. And you say to yourself, you're a man of God. You just keep doing it. You're a woman of God. You love Jesus. Well, just say this word to yourself. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. You need to persevere. You need to not quit. Oh, but it's so hard. You need to persevere. Don't give up your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what's been promised. You will receive what's been promised, but you've got to do the will of God. Well, what does the will of God look like right now? Mostly it's just don't quit. Just keep going. Some of you are struggling with just boredom. Just press through the boredom. Don't quit in boredom. Some of you are struggling with prophetic promises that just have not landed. Don't give up. Don't quit on God and quit on your relationship with Him. Don't quit on faith because your promises haven't landed. Just keep going. You need to persevere. You need to persevere. Some of you, it's physical afflictions. Don't give up. This isn't going to last forever. You need to persevere. being in the funk, don't give up, Brad. Persevere. Just keep showing up. Just keep pressing through. Perseverance doesn't mean awesome. Perseverance just means you didn't quit. Your run turned into a slow jog. Your slow jog turned into a power walk. Power walk into a slow walk. Slow walk into a shuffle. Shuffle into just fall forward when you fall. You'll make a little bit of ground because you'll hit and you'll bounce and you'll gain like a quarter of an inch. Win. Then some of us will come pick you up and then we'll just start throwing you. It'll be great. Perseverance, just don't quit. Just smiling while we throw you. You got me. Just don't quit. Just you need to persevere. You need to persevere. We'll be okay. And this word says, and I don't think it's just the passage we're in. I think it's a word to us. It's a word to us. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. God is no liar. Rich rewards are in your future. Regarding to your confidence about the things that you believe in God for, you need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, when you've marched through this swamp and you get to the other side, when you get through this desert, when you get through this on fire house, whatever analogy you want to use, when you've done the will of God and not a day before, not one day before, your reward will not come one day before it's coming. It's going to be tough and hard and no fun until the Lord says so. It's not coming one day before it's coming, but it's coming. And you've got a rich reward in your future. Not just one. Rewards on the personal level, ministry level, life level, the big things we're believing for level, all this stuff. It will be richly rewarded, but only after you've done the will of God. You'll receive what's been promised, for in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. Now this is where the rubber meets the road, because there are all these signs, there are all these lying signs that say your faith won't be richly rewarded. There are all these things that are happening that you go, it's not worth it. There are all these things that aren't landing the way that you want, all these pains and difficulties and oppressions and this is and that's and name whatever the issue is. There's all these lying signs. I know they're lying because they say something opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible says you will be richly rewarded. The Bible says he's coming. He's going to bring those promises. He's going to move on behalf of your life. And the signs say this won't happen. This didn't happen. God is a liar. God's not a liar. That's impossible. Redo the math. You read it wrong. You read the signs wrong. God's not a liar. I don't understand him, like lots of the time. I don't understand him. But he's not a liar. He's good. He's coming. You will be richly rewarded. But it requires that we live by faith. The righteous live by faith. You know, that statement, but my righteous, starting off with the word but. You know, hey. You can have all the gasoline you want at the gas station today. Awesome! But you have to pay for it. Oh. This sounds contingent. This sounds like an if-then-this clause. Yeah, you can have as much gas as you want, but you gotta pay for it. That word, but, it's important. Because what it means is, there are things that those that live by faith get, that those that don't live by faith don't get. And the verse right before it says the same thing. It says, you need to persevere so that. You need to pay for your gasoline so that you don't get arrested. It's the same statement as the but. It's a contingent statement. You need to persevere so that. You need to live righteous, or you need to believe in faith so that. You can see these things happen. It's a reality point for us. And I know that time is one of the meanest things when it comes to believing. It's the hardest thing. And it's actually the very crux of the message that the author of Hebrews is talking about here in the word perseverance. Listen, I don't like sticking my hand on a hot plate, but I'd rather touch the burner for about a half a second and then take it off. It's the time thing that messes with my hand. Put your hand on the hot plate for a week. That's a problem. That's a problem. We don't mind hurt so long as it goes away quickly. Time is the most difficult part of hurt. Any hurt. Emotional, physical, disappointments, hard circumstances. Time. And this is the thing that the author of Hebrews is addressing. Persevere. You need to persevere. You need to overcome the timetable. And the good news here is the devil's not in charge of that timetable. Pretty good news is you're not either. God is in charge of the timetable, so you persevering is actually you doing the will of God. That is the service to God that he requires for us in this season. Do the will of God. What does that mean? Don't quit. Persevere. Overcome the timetable. The difficulties that you're struggling, the difficulties that you're seeing, overcome. You need to overcome. You need to persevere. Because my righteous will live by faith. The Lord desires that the whole process through, from the beginning when we've got all the exciting promises or all the exciting perspectives or possibilities, at the beginning when things are exciting, the Lord wants us to live by faith. A couple of steps into the journey when it starts getting difficult, the pains, they're increasing. He wants you to live by faith. Way too long into the thing, after it should have been over twice over, he wants you to live by faith all the way to the very day of the victory where you show up at the finish line and the way you got there was, you remember? We threw you because you couldn't walk anymore because your last step was a fall forward, bounce, get a quarter of an inch, and then we had to pick you up and throw you. And that's how you cross the finish line. That's actually how the Lord wants it sometimes. Leaning and limping, barely able, not able to take any credit at all. The Lord wants us leaning and limping on him, and he says, my righteous ones will live by faith. But look at the next line. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Or her. Man, it's not just like quitting is quitting. Quitting is displeasing God. You're so happy a minute ago. What happened? You shrunk back. You stopped believing. My righteous ones, they live by faith. Live and die by faith. Live all the days of their life by faith. My righteous ones live by faith. Well, but it got so hard. Quitting isn't an option. It's not an option because we won't see the promise. It's not an option because it will displease the Father. It's not an option because we'll just feel so defeated. You think we feel defeated now in the midst of fighting and trying to believe. You feel 10 times more defeated when you give up. Because then all those demons come and just ransack and tell you, see, it wasn't worth it. See, God's a liar. And start accusing. Your heart winds up in the dirtiest place. We can't quit. Stop thinking you can quit. You need to persevere. You can't quit. You can't quit believing for an escapade building. It's the craziest thing we've ever prayed for. You can't quit believing. You can't quit. You can't quit believing for that healing. You can't quit believing for that gift of healing. You can't quit believing for that shift of a circumstance. If you shrink back, I want everybody's eyes. Look at me. Look at me. If you shrink back, he will not be pleased with you. You can't quit. You can't shrink back. You have to keep believing. You have to. His righteous ones live by faith. You can't quit. 39. I love verse 39. But, and I just imagine as he's writing, whoever he's writing and gets to verse 39, sticks his chest out and says, but by God. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and who are saved. The author of Hebrews here isn't rebuking people. I think he's doing what I'm doing. He's giving himself a pep talk. He's going, I'm not going to quit. We're not going to quit. Who writes like this without thinking of real circumstances? just arbitrarily writing such passionate, real, like, talk you into a good mood, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, go for it kind of a message, just because he's an anointed writer. Just, well, I'll just write something nice today. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39. This guy's going through it. He says, but we're not giving up. We're not of that type. We're not of that manner. And he even alludes that those that are of that manner don't wind up in the kingdom at the end. And again, I think it has a whole lot more to do with the shrinking back, the displeasure of the Lord, the shame, the attacks of the enemy, the accusation against God winds up putting people on a path that takes them out of the hunt. I think that's actually what's going on. But he says this, he says, we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed by their shrinking back. They're destroyed. The enemy comes in and just ravishes them. The enemy comes and just eats them up. The enemy comes and extracts all the treasures that God has put into them. When they give up, the enemy comes and he loots that treasure vault. He takes it all out. See, you can't believe in God's goodness. See, you can't believe that God answers prayer. See, you can't believe that God likes you. See, you can't believe, just robs the vault and destroys them. He says, but we're not like that. We're those who believe. Who believe again and believe again and believe again. And though he slay me, I will believe again. And I'll show up thrown across the finish line believing. Because we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We're those who persevere. So whatever our trial is, we got to persevere. This is the plan of God for your life today in this season. Look at your struggle and just make the decision. I will not die in this struggle. And this struggle will not cause me to shrink back and so be destroyed. This struggle will not overcome me. God, I've done that again and again. Do it again. You need to persevere. You need to persevere. You're going to be okay. Again, the worst thing that could happen to you is death, and that's the best thing that could happen to you. Like, I mean, really, we have such a narrow perspective. You're going to live forever. You're going to be okay. And you're not even going to die in the natural in this thing. You're going to make it. You're going to be okay. So whatever your difficulty is, whatever it is, do not throw away your confidence. Do not stop believing. Do not stop having faith. Do not shrink back. Press on. Believe. Have confidence that you will be rewarded for your faith. So all the big things that the ministry is believing for, this church is believing for, you as individuals are believing for, I got a longer list than anybody I've ever met of crazy stuff I'm waiting for God to do. I look at it sometimes and I just go, sometimes the worst thing I can do for my faith is reread the list. Just look at it and go, this is the craziest stuff. Oh, the things I believe. There are so many things I don't even tell you guys because I don't want to have to deal with your unbelief. Crazy, crazy things. And we're not of those who shrink back. We press on, we believe again, and we believe again. And that's what it means to be a Christian. And now faith is. This now faith is, we always start in chapter 11, verse 1, but it's, you got to go back to get it. There were no chapter breaks. I think the author of Hebrews would be ticked. I think he'd be mad. I think he should have said chapter 11 should have started at verse 35. You guys did it all wrong. In the midst of this, we're not of those who shrink back and so are destroyed. Well, okay, well then what are we? Well, let me tell you what faith is. Now, faith is this. It's being sure of what you hope for. That stupid hope you have in your heart. That unbelievable, impossible hope. That crazy thing that you're hoping for. It's just a hope. I hope it. Faith is being sure of that crazy little thing in your heart. And God loves it. He loves it. Do you know how many people there are going to be upstairs that we're going to meet? They believed for silly things that were impossible, that weren't even God's plan. I mean, they just made up something silly. And God was so pleased that they believed. Because the righteous live by faith. It doesn't even say the righteous live by reality. It says the righteous live by faith in belief, in a hope, in an assurance, in a belief, in a being sure of the thing that they have a hope in their heart. And God says, ooh, I like that. And the angels go, that's not even real. That guy's believing for a purple hippo to be his new transportation. Yeah, but he believes it. Everybody looks at that guy and scratches their head. We're ready to commit that fella. I think he gets a big seat upstairs if he's really believing for that purple hippo. This doesn't even address what it is that we're believing for. It doesn't even address it. It just says, do you believe it? Are you pressing in to believe for that thing? Now, as your pastor, I would counsel you not to believe for purple hippo transportation. I would counsel you to believe for things that the Bible counsels. I would counsel you to believe for things that the Holy Spirit is leading. I would counsel you to believe for things that have been confirmed and that the Lord is leading and giving direction and that are biblical. But that's the thing, you're already doing that. You're all already doing that. There's no purple hippo believers in here. You guys are pressing in for things that are valuable, that are meritable, that make sense, that are God, that are reasonable, that are good, that are healthy. Do not give up your confidence for these things. Instead, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I look at the list. I just put it in front of me and go, oh, how I do not see those things. How I see the exact opposite of those things. I see a very angry monster version of the exact opposite of those things. And it seems impossible. You just go, and yet I believe. I believe these things are coming. I'll get out of my funk. Vina's going to get healed. All this stuff's going to happen. All the things in your personal lives, we're going to be okay. I believe this. I do not see it. All I see is this gnarly rain cloud over me right now. I just look up and I'm like, ugh. I feel the effects of it. I don't see any hope. Most of you in your circumstances, you don't see the shift. You don't see. God doesn't even want you to see it. That wouldn't be faith. Faith is this. This is what the ancients were commended for. Believing in things that they couldn't see. Hope, the things they hoped for, believing that those things were real. Silly little men and women. Being certain of things that they could not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Why do you believe that the earth was formed? You just have faith. You have faith that God did it. You have faith that God is really up there doing something. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. By faith, he still speaks that testimony. Still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up. He did not experience death. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. I just want to please God. I mean, listen, if we can get past this, we can get down to like the point of life. The point of life has a whole lot more to do with pleasing God than it does having a pleasing life. Like having a pleasurable life. I mean, the point of life has way more to do with the smile on the face of God as it pertains to the way you live before him than it does that your circumstances go a certain way. I love it when my circumstances go the way I want them to. It's awesome. It makes really cool stories. You know, things are fun. I like it when that happens, but that's not what life is about. I mean, I love a good bowl of ice cream, but I'm not living for that next pleasure. I'm living to please God. I'm living to please God. Here it says that the ancients were commended because they pleased God. How did they please God? Well, because they took over this and they did that and they accomplished this. No, none of that mattered. God can do that in a second. He doesn't really even need our help. He allows us to participate in the really cool victories. Like when we get that escapade building, did we really get it? I mean, like, we're all going to go out there and go, ha-ha, we got it. We're going to just barely fall across that finish line. God's going to put it into our lap and go, it's God. We didn't have anything to do with it. It was all God the whole time. And that's how he wants it. The ancients were committed because they pleased God, not because of their victories or the thing that they accomplished or the thing that they got or the thing that they did, because they believed God. And God was happy about them. It's impossible to please God if we don't have faith. He wants you to die in faith, believing the promises of God. And along the way, you'll see many of those promises come to pass. And I just barter some of them not. The promise coming or not is not in your hand and is really not even the point. The promises coming is an excuse to give you an opportunity to please God. Let me say it again. The promises. God tells you about this promise. You go, ooh, locking onto that one. That's awesome. You go, yeah. It's an excuse. God got you all excited. Yeah. It's an excuse to believe God and so please him. He gives you something really awesome to believe for. Praying for a building that will go 24/7 in, that's awesome. Personal things in your lives, those are noble things to believe for one of 100 reasons. Excuses to believe God and so please him. And I believe the promises of God will come to pass. I believe them. That's what this whole thing's about. It's not like you just go, okay, well, I'll just jump on God's excuse bandwagon. I'm just saying, if it happens or doesn't happen, it was an opportunity and an on-ramp for you to do the thing that pleases God the most, and that is believe him when it looks totally impossible. Whatever it is. I can't overcome this. I've got this struggle. I've got this thing going on. This thing hasn't happened yet. Whatever that is, it's an on-ramp for you to have faith and to please him. And this is what the ancients were commended for, that they pleased God. Listen, when I show up there, I'll tell you, whether this is arrogant or not, you have to process that. I want to be known in heaven. I do. I want my name known. I want to walk around the eternal city. I want people to know who I am. Not because I believed for some building and got it, but because I believed. Because I didn't give up. And because God saw that and he was so happy. I want to be known as one upstairs. They go, that guy makes God so happy. Because he kept believing. He kept believing. It was impossible. And he kept believing. He did not falter in his faith. He did not back down. The thing blew up. It blew up. The Escapade building fell into a sinkhole. And he went out there and laid his hands over the sinkhole and said, in Jesus' name, reappear. Not so he could get a building, but because he could participate in the journey and believe God. Because it pleases him. I want to be known in heaven. And the way that we will be known in heaven is by our faith. Not by what happened. I got this cool thing. I had this awesome. None of that really matters. It's temporal and it's cool and it's awesome. And I want a whole lot of those things. It's about pleasing him. And it's impossible to please him without faith. Next verse. And without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible to please him. It is impossible to please him. Oh, man. It's impossible to please him without faith. You can't give up. You can't stop believing. It's impossible to please God if you do that. You need to persevere, like me. I don't mean I'm doing it. I mean, I need to do it. And you're like me. You need to do it. You need to persevere. So that afterwards, you'll be richly rewarded. After you've done the will of God. After you've weathered through the season. God's got dates circled on his calendar. I'm telling you, every one of you and your problems and the things, he's got dates circled on the calendar. You need to persevere until that date is in your rearview mirror and it's the page that you tear off and throw in the trash can. You need to persevere. And not just so that you see the promises. Because there really are people that won't see promises because they gave up. Let me just give you a little side piece on this. I'm just thinking about I mean, in all honesty, my world right now is not the Escapade building, but it's just what's coming up tonight. But I'm just thinking about this Escapade thing. Praying for a nightclub that's been shut down for 15 years. That's a mess over there, I'm sure. Okay, I know. I've been on the property. I walked around it once. It's a mess. It's a total mess over there. Now think about this. Think about those that started believing with us for that building. Okay? So a year ago. Whatever. And they were in. I mean, they're praying on the mic. They're believing it. They're praying in their private times. They're driving down the road. They were there that night that I said, okay, every one of you have been commissioned. Stretch out your hand every time you drive down Cooper and stick out your hand and pray for that. They were doing it. They were in. They were going for it. And now they're gone. And maybe they're gone for a number of different reasons. But in the process, they stopped believing for that thing. When we get it, they don't get the reward. I don't mean they're not in the ministry so they don't get the experience. They'll have no care of that. They'll have moved on. Life is different. Their thought processes are different. It's no longer a victory. It's no longer a win for them. They don't get the promises of God because they stop believing for it. Even if they move and they're still praying for it, it's a victory for them when it happens. Because they go, yeah! Whoa! And they're there for the opening night and stick their head in and go, I was praying for this. I was there. There's thousands of people around. They go, I was one of the originals praying for this thing. Every time I'd pray, I'd look it up on Google Earth after I moved, and I just stretched my hand over the screen and say, in Jesus' name, because I couldn't drive by it anymore. They were engaging their faith. I'm not talking about that they left the ministry. I'm talking about they stopped believing for the promise of God, and they were believing for it. They don't get the promise when the promise comes. Even if they come in the building, kind of neat. They weren't engaged in it. Same thing with all of us in our journeys. Those promises are tied to believing the whole way through. So if you find yourself wavering a little bit, repent, call it sin. Jump back on that horse and try to believe again. Just fall forward. Listen, I'm moving so slow right now. I'm a runner when it comes to things, just pursuing the Lord. I like to just sprint, go for it. Right now, I am doing the truffle shuffle. It is bad. I am not taking any ground. I just feel pathetic. You guys remember that scene in Goonies? I feel like that right now. I'm just barely moving forward. But I'm moving forward. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to give up. You're not either, because we're not of those who shrink back and so are destroyed, but those who believe and who are saved. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him and comes to him and comes again and comes again and believes again and believes again must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who keep showing up and believing. That he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so, we just earnestly seek him. You know, the funny thing about earnest, the concept, you don't get it on day one. You get it on day bajillion. After you're like, come on already! That's where earnestness comes. You know? I give you a great example. Fruit snacks. In my house, it's fruit snacks. JC wants fruit snacks. But she doesn't get earnest the first time she asks. No, no. It's the 50th time or the 500th time. That's when the earnestness starts coming out. And she's now jumping up and down hysterically saying, fruit snack, fruit snack, fruit snack. There's an earnestness that comes that takes a little bit of a journey. First time she says it, she's still in the middle of dinner. And she looks up with a little gleam in her eye and you know what's about to come out of her mouth. For a sec. But it's not earnest yet. You say, no, no, you got to finish your dinner. She says, fruit snack? Go, no, at least eat four more bites. Four more bites. Four more bites. Fruit snack? That's right. We're getting there. I feel that earnestness starting to bubble. But man, by the time you've pushed that girl beyond her limits, beyond the realm of self-control, she is now hysterically saying, fruit snacks! Fruit snacks! Fruit snacks! And you just... It's the persistent widow. Whether you want to give it to her or not, you're going to give her the fruit snacks so that she will stop and not wear you out. Fruit snacks. That earnestness doesn't come the first time we ask. It's part of the season. It's part of the testing. It's part of the timing. It's part of what perseverance is. Perseverance and earnest seeking go hand in hand. You don't get perseverance on day one and you don't get earnest pursuit, that earnestness on day one. It takes a little bit of time. But God wants to produce both in us because he's pleased by the aroma on that fire. The aroma of perseverance. The aroma of earnest seeking.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.